Warning, the podcast you're about to hear has a unique conservative perspective and may be politically incorrect, containing some controversy in its message. This episode may speak out against liberalism, socialism, the dark state, and religious organizations. It is possible that evil in politics, education, law, society, and religion will be discussed and exposed. However, we believe this podcast adds truth and value to a mature, disenfranchised audience who may be tired of apostate religions and wicked world systems. Listeners who are easily offended, overly sensitive, or have progressive leanings sympathetic to the topics we expose should be forewarned not to listen any further. We thank both those who choose to listen as well as those who choose not to listen. You've been warned. And now, let us get on with the show.
Welcome, welcome, everybody, to the Fall of Babylon.
Yeah.
On the Freedom Friday show.
Today's date is May 31st, 2019.
Cool. Babylon has fallen. Babylon has fallen. And all the merchants cry because Babylon has fallen. Here we are. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
First up, these poor people in the Midwest of the United States getting slammed by tornadoes, floods, torrential rains, unprecedented weather patterns. And it's not because they drive, you know, Chevy pickup trucks instead of Priuses. Yeah, it's not because they mow their lawns with lawnmowers instead of having California, you know, approved carburetors. It's because the world is changing physically, and it's groaning and moaning for the revelation of the sons of God. And like we said before, we've been saying this for a while. It's going to get worse and worse. It's not getting better. It's not going back to the way it was.
Mm-mm.
You know, and even if you stripped all the biblical prophecy and things out of it, and you didn't believe any of that, you just want to look at it, what it is. You have a cyclic weather patterns. You have weather patterns, you know, 500-year floods going on right now. I mean, stuff that only happens every 500 years or every 1,000 years. You got grand solar minimum cycles, at least a 400-year cycle pattern, but maybe even we're in a 1,000-year cycle pattern. And the sun is, you know, inactive. It's not global warming caused by humans. And I don't believe in the globe. See how I said that?
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been lied to my whole life. But anyway, it's not earth warming caused by humans. So we can, you know, tax the humans and their carbon use. It is, if it's warming at all, it is because it's cyclic. But more than likely, it's been cooling. At least the sun is cooling. Weather's going crazy. So I do feel bad for these people over there. It's horrible.
Yes.
But Babylon's fallen, man. You know, rain intensifies, flooding in saturated Arkansas and Oklahoma.
Mm.
Picture here on the AP article that I'm looking at is this beautiful brick home. And the water's probably a foot up to the front door.
I know, terrible.
Yeah, it looks like that structure right in front of the house used to be the mailbox, but it's like covered. Really unbelievable. The story goes, it starts off with a story about a guy, but basically it's flooding really bad over there. Heavy rainfall as of Wednesday intensified flooding in an area that's already been saturated.
Yeah, even the highways are flooded.
Everything. The rivers hit record water levels. Officials said an aging levee system was holding up despite a rush of water coming downstream from rain-soaked Oklahoma and Kansas. Mm-mm. We'll see how long that holds. We don't know. They said still the river was nearly twice the level it was 10 days ago, and there's flash flood warnings issued across the region as of Wednesday. So they're not out of danger. This one guy they're interviewing and his family, they were piling up, to no avail, sandbags for 2 days prior to try to keep the water out. And they had to evacuate his father's home or to his father's home, which wasn't expected to flood. And they said for 2 days they sandbagged, but it was in vain. Yeah. This guy said his house is in a 500-year floodplain, meaning the chances of flooding were so remote that he didn't even need flood insurance. So now they're in trouble. You know, it's overwhelming. He says you can't do anything about it. The water has the power. You can't block water. And that's true. So anyway, bad, bad stuff. Evacuations everywhere. 2,400 people flooded 1,100 homes. And there's more rain expected. Yeah, and there's nowhere the water to drain. There's nowhere for it to go. The levee systems are strained as water just moves downstream. The governor of Arkansas said more than 400 homes have been voluntarily evacuated. This is very expensive. Swollen rivers causing problems along the Nebraska-Iowa border also. Just weeks after thousands of people in the region were forced from their homes because of flooding. It's bad news.
Mm-hmm.
Bad stuff. They said Wednesday the river was about 40 feet, breaking the previous record crest of 38 feet set in 1945. One death was blamed on the flooding. And the mayor, or the governor, says the flood is of historic magnitude. It surpasses all Arkansas River flooding in our recorded history. And there's the rub. There it is right there. It's unprecedented. Did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, it's bad in the Midwestern United States. And it could be bad in your town tomorrow. You know, I live in the Nevada desert. We don't have tornadoes, but I always tell Miss Kapow.
Yeah, you do.
I always tell her this. I go, there's a day coming when we're going to have a tornado here.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds crazy because you live in the Nevada desert. But the weather is so bizarre and it's so unprecedented. And having a tornado here would be unprecedented. So the odds of having an unprecedented tornado in the Nevada desert is pretty good. And I think that's going to happen. I think I'm going to see that before my lifetime or before this is all over.
I believe it.
Even the weather here has been very unusually cool and rainy. It's normally hot, you know.
Yeah, especially around this time of the year.
Yeah. So, you know, we don't have the problems of flooding or, you know, earthquakes or tornadoes, anything like that yet. So what I'm just saying, just because you don't have it today, don't mean you won't have it tomorrow. And that goes from any place you live. You know, who would have expected, you know, Oklahoma and Arkansas to be underwater right now? But they are. Yeah. So the earth is groaning. The creature groans, waiting for the redemption of the sons of God. It's happening. It's meant to happen. Iniquity is filling up around the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And as more and more humans reject truth and reject God and turn to the occult and the dark side and to Satan worship, because you can only serve one master.
That's right.
You know what I mean? You can still be good people. You know, you still be good people, but if you're not serving God, you're serving Satan.
That's right.
Even though you don't wear witch clothes and do pagan rituals, you're still serving Satan because you're not serving God.
Joel 3:16 says, "The Lord roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth tremble. But the Lord is a refuge for his people and a stronghold to the sons of Israel."
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, you know, the Lord will sustain you. Mm-hmm. You're not meant for destruction. You're not meant for judgment. But you will go through, and if you're living life as a biblical Christian, you are going through great tribulation. This life is great tribulation. If you're living according to biblical standards and you've been washed in the blood of Christ and your character has been changed, you're going through a great tribulation because you don't belong here and you don't fit and it doesn't work well. It's not your home.
Amen.
All right. Now, moving along, I love stories like this next one because it's what stupid people are doing. Yeah. And I think, you know, there's a lot of stupid people out there, but this is like the specific stupid people. I mean, specifically people who are really stupid. This is what they're doing right now. Because if you weren't mentally deficient in some manner, and not only mentally deficient, but emotionally scarred and spiritually devoid of any sense or truth, right? I mean, the whole bit, kit and caboodle here, you wouldn't be doing such actions.
Mm-hmm.
So when I say stupid, I don't mean just mentally stupid. I mean spiritually stupid, emotionally stupid. They're just stupid. And this is from the Daily Mail. And one thing stupid people do a lot is they do these social media challenges. You know, these kids, even adults, they do these challenges. What, I don't know the name of it, but what's that one?
Well, they had the ice bucket. And then the one where they would get out of the driver's seat.
Yeah, that one.
I don't even know what that was called.
Something about blind. It was from some Netflix show or something. Or something like that. Wouldn't they do something? Or no, they were blindfolding themselves trying to drive. Just crazy stuff. But I know what you're talking about. They get out of the car while the car's running.
Yeah, and then they walk. And then they take a selfie or have somebody in the car take a picture of them.
Of them while the car's moving. Yeah. And they're walking. It's stupid stuff. And you know, you can go on YouTube and watch the fails on this and watch people falling and losing their cars and crash. Just, you've got to be an idiot. Mm. And I'm not just being mean or just saying, this is true. There's something wrong in the brain for you to think this is something you'd want to do. But these are stupid people. And so this is what stupid people are doing now. And I'm informing you so that you know this. So if you have a loved one that happens to be a stupid person, please stop them before they go the wrong way on the freeway and hurt somebody.
Mm-hmm.
This is called Get That Money Challenge. And there's so many things wrong on so many levels with this. Number one, it's this greed of commercialism, buy stuff, this greed. Mm-hmm. Is entitled, and then the stupidity of what you would do to satisfy that greed.
Yeah.
So it's really bad on a lot of levels. Plus, it's physically damaging.
Yeah, and the parents are the ones challenging their children to do this.
That's the other point. It's the adults, the parents or the older siblings challenging the children to do this stupidity. So it's called Get That Money Challenge. And it sees children thump their foreheads. Now, I watched the video, and some of them bang pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's more than the thump. It's a pretty good bang. The children thump their foreheads against a door or a wall to catch a credit card so they can buy whatever they want. So the parents are challenging their kids to catch their credit card using their forehead. And if successful, the children are rewarded with whatever they want using the card. So, so far, many of the kids in the videos have failed to catch the card with their head. Yeah. So the craze follows the likes of the Kiki mannequin and the ice bucket challenges. Mm-hmm. Bizarre stuff. So it says a hilarious viral craze is about to sweep the internet. Really? This is hilarious?
Mm-mm.
The Get That Money Challenge sees parents offer to buy their child whatever they want using credit or debit card, but with one catch. Those challenge must catch the card as it slides down a door using only their forehead. So in other words, they're standing there looking up. The parent has the credit card against the door or the wall. And when the parent releases the credit card, gravity takes it down. And this kid has to then stop the card with his head against the door. And the video I saw, you know, obviously your eye-head coordination, it can't be fast enough when that card falls. So they're, bam, they're missing the card, and they're slamming their head against the wall. And then everybody laughs, because that's funny. Right? So the craze has seen plenty of traction with parents from all over the United States. How embarrassing, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Posting up videos on social media, putting their kids to the test.
Wow.
God, just think what you're teaching these other mentally challenged things that came out of your body called children. Yeah, because you keep reproducing. Isn't that weird?
Mm.
Yeah. It says, one father shared a video of his son doing the challenge. Unfortunately for the boy, the card did not slide all the way down as the dad was testing him. Luckily, the test run had everyone laughing after he thumped his head on the door. That's really funny.
There's a picture, yeah.
Yeah. Another clip shows a young woman holding up a card against the door, offering her sister $100 to trap it using her head. And she fails, but the thud against the door gets laughs from everyone. That's good to teach your kids that. Good stuff. Yeah, mm-hmm. So it's a new social media sensation. And it comes after a series of challenges in recent years. And I don't even know what this sentence means. And I know you won't either, Ms. Capel. It says, including the Kiki challenge set to the Drake hit song In My Feelings back in 2018. I have no idea what that means.
I don't either.
I don't know what Kiki is. I don't know who Drake is. And I don't know any hit song called My Feelings. I don't even remember 2018.
No.
In 2016, the mannequin challenge swept the world by creating a freeze frame set. I don't know what that means either. To the song Black Beatles by Ray. Sremerd, featuring Gucci Mane.
Don't know any of those people.
To me, that's like an alien talking to me. It's in another language. I don't know what you're talking about. I know what a mannequin is, but I don't know what a freeze frame.
Oh,
creating a freeze frame set to a song called Black Beatles.
Just Googled the Kiki challenge, and that's the one where they run out of the car and take a selfie or have someone take a picture.
Ah.
That's the Kiki challenge.
And that's set to the Drake hit song, My Feelings.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, what does that have to do with the car? I don't know. Anyway, this is mental illness. And then, of course, you remember the ice bucket challenge where you throw ice.
Yeah.
That
didn't even sound appealing to me.
No, well, it was stupid. It was supposed to raise awareness for owls, and it had nothing to do with that. I don't know. We looked into that years ago. Remember that?
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. we thought it was very demonic, but we couldn't really find a tie outside of, you know, stupidity.
Exactly.
Yeah, but that's what stupid people are doing today. So if you want to know what really, you know, I mean, most people are dumb. But if you're really not what the real stupid, that's what they're doing. They're having their kids bang their heads against walls and doors trying to catch a credit card for financial gain.
Mm-hmm. Because
that's what you want to teach these idiots. And crime and demons go hand in hand. When a demon possesses a flesh suit, goes on a rampage. But
this
it's not
sad, though.
It is sad. And it's not just in the United States. No. It's also in Japan. Japan has a very low rate of violence. But not anymore, because the demons are everywhere. The portals are wide open.
Yeah.
And this is from Fox News, so it has to be true, right? Knife-wielding man yelling, "I will kill you," attacks schoolgirls at a bus stop near Tokyo. Two people died. I think it was an 11-year-old girl and her...
And her father.
Yes, yeah. 30-some-odd-year-old father died. That's sad. But a lot of people got got injured with the stabs and the slashes.
Yeah, at least 16.
Wow, that's a lot. And then the idiot ended up stabbing himself, and so he's dead. So this is highly unusual for Japan. Trump happened to be there at the time. He was visiting his bud Abe. And of course, he tweeted his condolences and all that stuff. That could have been the reason why this guy went off. Who knows? The story doesn't have a motivation. He's just screaming, "I will kill you." And you're talking little girls. I mean, you're talking little school children. So you're not even talking...
Yeah, these are elementary children.
Yeah, you know? You're not even talking like, hey, there could be a valid reason why he's screaming that. You know? And these girls were at a bus stop.
Yeah, just minding their own business.
Yeah, way to get on the bus. Yeah, crazy. The people said it was an extremely harrowing incident in which small children were victimized.
Yeah, that would be horrible.
Yeah, and they were elementary school girls. They were lined up at a bus stop, and it was in the city of Kawasaki. This guy was in his 50s. And he begins slashing them with knives. The witnesses said they saw blood everywhere, shirt soaked with blood. It was an 11-year-old girl, and her 39-year-old father were killed. Yeah. And then the man killed himself, stabbed himself. I mean, it's
very demonic.
Yeah.
Very demonic, for sure.
That's some heavy, heavy stuff. It says, although Japan has one of the lowest crime rates in the world, it has seen a series of high-profile killings. 2016, there was a former employee of a home for disabled. He went around on a stabbing spree. He killed 19, wounded 20. In 2008, seven people were killed by a man who drove a truck into a crowd. You remember that? I remember that one. Yeah, and then he went on a stabbing rampage. I remember that. In 2001, a man killed 8 children and wounded 13 others in a knife attack.
Also in an elementary school.
So it's interesting how they are attacking the...
children.
Yeah, the children there with the knives. Outside of the guy who drove a truck, the other ones are, you know... Yeah, children. Interesting. Interesting. So demons are not here. Oh, this is a good one. I'm going to take a short break. We're going to come back because one of my favorite topics to talk about is the post-biblical Church of Christ, the church of the modern Western world that's post-biblical, which means it's beyond the Bible, does not adhere to or understand or in its wildest imagination even think to understand or behave according to God's word, and they're not even Christian in the real biblical sense, but they call themselves a church and a Christian church. So I love talking about these because the church, this Western church, this Christianity of blasphemy, it's an abomination that keeps growing and growing daily. Daily and daily. Harder and harder to find real real ministers, real churches, because this stuff has just taken over like a cancer. Has it not, Ms. Kapow?
It sure has.
So let's take a short break, and then we're going to talk about a church in Atlanta. Well, they're doing something very odd with the dead.
How many of you remember the story contained in the book of Acts, chapter 19, where there were 7 sons of Sceva, and they were trying to cast out a demon because they saw the apostle Paul doing great miracles through God? So they try to do the same thing. So they go up to this guy who's demon possessed and they say, "We adjure you by this Jesus whom Paul preaches to come out." Yeah. And guess what the evil spirit did? The evil spirit answered them and said to them, "Hey, I recognize Jesus and I know about Paul, but who are you?" And guess what? The man that had the demons jumped on him, beat the heck out of him, subdued him, overpowered him, and they literally fled out of the house naked and wounded. Wow. Guess why? Guess why? Because they did not go to Amazon.com and buy Demons in My Marriage Bed, A True Story of Spiritual Warfare. The book is not about you being married or single. The book is about dealing with demonic forces, and you need to know how to do that today more than you ever have for your own life and for those around you. The book is a training manual, and there's training in there that will teach you how not to be the sons of Sceva and get beat up by demons. It will give you the tools for you to be recognized by them, because they'll know that you're exercising the authority that is given to you through Christ. You need to get this book.
More people, even listening here, would read that book, Demons in My Marriage Bed. And just put down YouTube for a little bit. Put down the videos for a second and read a book. Read that book. I highly suggest Christianity of Blasphemy. And highly suggest Isis the Unseen Enemies, if you want to know what we're about to talk about right now, about the post-Christian, post-biblical, post-mortem dead church.
That's scary.
Yeah. The Antichrist church. You know, Satan has a church, you know that. I'm not talking Church of Satan. What's his face? Anton LaVey's church. I'm talking about a real spiritual Church of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
He has his church, and it's this. Yeah. It's your prosperity gospels. It's you're in bed with the world. You're in love with the world. You're in love with Drake, you know, and the Kiki challenge, and you do that at church to attract young people. You know what I mean? It's that kind of stuff. The music, all the stuff, the services, the rock concerts, and I'll keep just saying that, you know, till I'm blue in my face. And someday, those who don't listen will understand what I was talking about. But unfortunately, that day will be too late to say, "Lord, Lord, didn't I read tarot cards in your name?" Right? It'll be too late. And that's a good scripture to open this up with, Ms. Cabal, because that scripture, when Christ comes, he sets up his throne, he separates the sheep from the goats, and he's rewarding those who are faithful to him. And he says, "Hey, you know, you did this, you did that, and did that." And they go, "Lord, when did we see you in prison? When did we do this? When did we, help the widows and the fatherless?" And he goes, "Well, you did the least of my children." Not the world, right, Mr. Powell?
That's right.
"The least of my children. You did it unto me." So you can't just be a philanthropist like Bill Gates of Microsoft and then go, "Hey, I'm in because I treated, kids in Africa cool." That ain't what it's about. He says, "The least you do to mine, you did it to me." Okay? So it's belonging to God and others that belong to God.
Mm-hmm.
That's the responsibility. And then on the opposite end, you have those that are saying, "Well, Lord, Lord, you know, didn't we cast out demons in your name?" That's pretty heavy to cast out a demon, isn't it? Because that's a miracle.
Yep.
"Didn't we do it in your name? And didn't we write Hillsong songs in your name? Didn't we produce mass Christian music in Nashville, Tennessee, in your name? Didn't I wear, Jesus is my boyfriend t-shirt in your name on my YouTube channel?" I don't know. And in light of that, on this story, you have a woman who is going to say, and I guarantee it, "Lord, Lord, didn't I talk to demons in your name? Didn't I talk to the dead? Didn't I commit necromancy in your name?
Dear Jesus.
Did I not give other people that went to my false Antichrist abominable church psychic readings in your name. And he's going to say, get the heck out of here. Mm-hmm. I have no idea who you are. Never knew you. And go into utter darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know why? Because at that point in time, all compassion and all patience is over. Mm-hmm. It's too late. The compassion of God is over at that point. It's pure judgment. You'll find out about that in Ezra, maybe next week or the week after. Mm-hmm. It's over. There's no more patience, okay? Now is the time. What's that scripture, Ms. Kapow? Now's the time to serve the Lord.
Yep.
Today's the day.
Today's the day.
Yep. Now's the time to choose. But this clown, she might as well be banging her head on the wall trying to catch credit cards, because her and her whole church congregation are nothing but Satanists under a Christian name. And all these people, even if they go there innocently, if they don't know better, they're doomed to hellfire. Because he's going to say, I never knew you. Mm. He can't know you. Because this is satanic worship.
Yeah, this is an abomination to the Lord.
Yeah, you're talking to demons. You're talking to the dead. It's necromancy. I know, you're shaking your head going, what the heck's wrong with these people? This is from the Christian Post. And this is what's, you know, we talked about what stupid people are doing with credit cards thumping their head, right? Stupid parents are doing to their kids. This is what stupid churchians are doing. This is what the stupid Western church is doing. It's called Vision Church of Atlanta. That should give you the clue.
Yeah.
Vision Church. They add a psychic medium to a ministerial staff. And there's so many things about this story that irritates me. She has a phony doctorate degree of ministry. You know, people, I don't have to tell you, you know, you can get a doctorate degree from India today. I mean, you can get it anywhere. It's just type, you know, doctorate in ministry. And you pay them your $150 and they'll send you your paper. This is what this person did. She holds a doctorate of ministry from the Interdenominational Theological Center, right? And she's now a licensed minister at the Vision Church of Atlanta. So she's a phony from day one. It's not real academia. But they hired her. She's now a licensed ministry at this Vision Church. And they say that this church is a progressive congregation. What does that mean? Progressive. Mm-hmm. That means they're not biblical. They're progressive. They're new. And they added a psychic medium who claims to commune with the dead to their staff. And her name is LaCara Foster. Now, LaCara Foster is going to have a huge problem on that day. Lord, Lord, did I not talk to dead people in your name? Mm-hmm. She's going to have a huge problem. Lord, Lord, did I not hold a phony doctrine of ministry from the Interdenominational Theological Center in your name? The Vision Church of Atlanta, there she is. She's also the creator, and she's a star of the YouTube series The Gift. I love that. Here's YouTubers. Here's another phony system. You're on YouTube.
I know.
And now we have YouTube stars?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's some sad stuff. So she has a YouTube series called The Gift, which she argues that God told her to do it. Now, it follows her life as a medium, a minister, and spiritual teacher.
Almost sounds like a reality show to me.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I do believe her God told her to do this.
Yeah, but it's absolutely not Yahweh.
But it's not our God. It's not our God. In fact, our God says, cursed are those who speak to demons. Cursed are those who mutter with the dead. Mm-hmm. It's an abomination. And witches and warlocks and sorcerers and those who mutter and peep shall never enter into the kingdom of God. That's what the biblical God says. Mm-hmm. But LaCara, or whatever her name is, what's her name?
Yeah, LaCara.
LaCara. LaCara says, God told me to do the show. Honestly, I was reluctant at first because I felt very vulnerable and I thought I would get a lot of pushback and negative feedback being a minister and a medium. I thought people wouldn't understand, but I knew I still had to do it. I knew I had been called to do it. When I asked God why this gift, why not singing? You know what God told her? He says, I promise my people eternal life.
Oh, God.
How will my people know that I've kept promises if you don't demonstrate your gift? Wow. Mm. So God's saying, how are they going to know? They're not going to know by accepting, you know, my son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, transforming their lives. They're not going to know about, well, maybe 6,000 years of written scripture. I'm going to need you to practice mediumship so they'll know I promise eternal life.
Oh, God.
And stupid Lakara here buys it hook, line, and sinker. You know why? You know why she buys it? Mm. Because she's full of demonic entities that are lying to her.
Mm-hmm.
And she buys the lie. That's why. And everybody who listens to her in her church and on her YouTube channel has bought the lie.
Oh.
They're all on a big, broad path heading straight to hellfire. And they can't stop themselves because they don't want to. And that's the problem you have here. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem you have here. So here's the deal. At first, she was reluctant, right? She thought, oh, I'm going to get a lot of pushback. But, you know, if the world loves you, if the world says, hey, this is great stuff, I love what you're doing and everything, then you're an enemy of God.
That's
because
right.
If you're a godly person and you're saying godly things, the world does not embrace you.
That's right.
They're repulsed by what you're saying. The world doesn't like you. But she argues that psychic mediumship should be included. It should be included among the spiritual gifts of the modern church, right?
Mm-hmm.
Never mind what Paul listed in Corinthians. Forget Paul.
Yeah, now we're going to be starting adding to the Word of God here.
Exactly. This should be, psychic mediumship should be included in the spiritual gifts. You know why? Because James 1:17 teaches that every good and perfect gift is from above. Now, we're not taking this out of context. We're not twisting anything. We're not making it up. I got a good and perfect gift talking to demons, and it says that every gift good's above, so I'm good to go. This is what stupid churchianity is doing. These are stupid churchians right here. The Christian Post reached out to the Vision Church for a comment, but no one was immediately available.
Hmm.
Let's see. In an interview with Great Day Louisiana earlier this year, this Lakara Foster discussed how her gift allowed her to communicate with the dead.
Hmm.
She says, as a psychic medium, what I try to explain to people is psychic is a very umbrella term. I believe to some degree we all have some type of psychic intuition. A medium falls under that umbrella. Being a medium allows me to communicate with our loved ones who are departed.
No.
She is clearly talking to dead
spirits. To demons. Yeah.
Yes. So I tell people all mediums are psychic, but all psychics are not medium.
Ooh.
Ooh. Yeah, she's heavy too. Heavy, heavy. She explained that she has been using her gift for a long time, had always wanted to use her gift without sacrificing her faith in Jesus.
Hmm.
Should I pause there while everybody throws up just a little bit in your mouth?
Yeah.
Everybody just barf. Just, can you feel it? Ooh, ooh, there it is. Ooh. Throw up a little bit in your mouth. Everybody should just feel a little sick by that statement. She always wanted to use her gift, talking to demons, without sacrificing her faith in Jesus. You see a problem with that?
Yeah.
Instead of picking up her cross and following him, instead of denying yourself, instead of he that wants life shall lose it, she does the opposite. How can I bring Jesus into my demonic-possessed brain? So I feel good about myself. So she says, for me, it was very important that I was able to merge the two. I mean, you have all kinds of this article's just rich with lessons. Here's a person who merges the two. Mm. You can never merge the Almighty God with your sinful nature.
No.
They don't mix. Mm-mm. She says, my love for God, my love for Jesus. But really, I knew that I could heal. Ah, I could heal through ministry. See, you know, have you noticed how all these people, including Reiki masters, psychics, anybody with a gift, it always goes to healing. They want to heal. Mm-hmm. That is like the open door.
Right.
The healing. And then you'll even have these evangelical Christians or so-called running around malls and stuff, just laying hands on people, trying to heal like sinners mm-hmm. without repentance, without anything. It's always about the healing.
Yeah.
That's how they get in. I knew I could heal through ministry, but I've always been healing. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of natural to be able to merge the two to continue that level of healing. So she's a healing. One of the reasons I pursued my doctorate on this topic is because I really wanted to understand my gift from the intersections of Afrocentrism and Christianity. There's another clue. How are you mixing Afrocentrism with Christianity? Well, you see, you're merging all kinds of BS mm-hmm. into your own mental, spiritual retardation. And why the church believes this gift shouldn't be considered a spiritual gift among those listed in the Bible, she further stated. So she wants it listed in the Bible. Dang it. So I think they should sue God. They should take God to court for not listing it. At least take Paul to court, right?
Yeah. Well, at least they can write their own Bible and put it in there.
Yeah. Here's another thing that should just get everybody just barfing just a little bit in your mouth. Just a little bit of throw up in your mouth. Foster noted that she has received a lot of support from her church and members of her family, like her father, who also claims to possess the gift to commune with the dead. So this is where she got it.
Mm-hmm.
That demon from that man entered into this fetus. And this is where she got it.
Mm-hmm.
It's called familiar spirits.
Yeah.
If they understood the Bible, they would understand these things. They should have had it expelled through deliverance and repentance. But nay. But the thing is that she's getting a lot of support from her church.
Mm-hmm.
She says, my church family has been super supportive. My family has been just as incredible. My father shares a similar gift, and my mother is the executive producer of the web series, The Gift.
Well, so it's a whole family affair.
Yeah, we're all making some money through monetizing and all this stuff. But there you have it. That kind of stuff is just, it's just amazing, but... You know, I don't know. You know, if it really, I don't know, but
it's not good.
They don't. Yeah, I don't get it. Everybody remember Jamie Kloss, that poor little girl who was kidnapped and her two parents were killed by this idiot. The only reason I read this story is this is really a classic example of demon in a flesh suit. But even more so, I mean, you know, call me crazy. I know you don't judge a book by its cover, by your look. But I look at this guy's mugshot. And to me, he just appears so alien.
Mm.
He looks like the cover of the alien that revealed himself to, and I forget his first name. Stryber Whitney?
Yeah, Stryber.
Stryber Whitney. He wrote that book years ago, back in the 80s, I believe, called Communion,
yeah.
Where he communed, he actually talked to aliens, which are demons, which are demonic lying spirits. And this particular alien gave Stryber, you know, his name and all this stuff. I forget what it was. But on the cover of his book is the rendition or drawing of this demonic entity. And that's what this guy looks like. He has the same head and shape. He looks like that. To me, I see gray alien all in his face. But that's me. And I know you'd say, Paul, you can't judge a book by a cover. You don't know if people are demon-possessed by the way they look. But in a way, I think I do because I see it all the time.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah. And so this story here, if you're not familiar with the story, let me see here. Okay. Here's this guy. His name is Patterson. Now, he decided he wanted to kidnap this girl, Jamie, in October after he saw her for the first time while she got onto a school bus. Mm. And this guy, Patterson, was on his way to a temporary job at a cheese factory. See, and up to that point, I would have liked the guy. Somebody works at a cheese factory. Can't be that bad. And but anyway, his car had stopped behind the bus. And when he saw Jamie, he knew that was the girl he was going to take.
She was only 13, too. She was only 13 at the time.
Well, what tells me is that he just didn't wake up that morning and go, hey, I'm going to commit this crime. Mm-mm. He had already been thinking about abducting a little girl. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I keep saying. They don't wake up that day and decide to commit these kind of atrocious crimes. There's something in their lives, like, you know, mediumship, talking to demons or the dead, that leads up to this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then he planned the abduction, grabbing his father's 12-gauge shotgun. He shaved his face and head so he'd leave no forensic evidence. So he thought about it. He drove two times to the Kloss house that month. He was scared off by cars in the driveway, seeing lights in the house. But during the third time, early October 15th, he drove to the home. Jamie awoke to hear her dog barking. She woke up her father. The father went down to the front door, and Patterson shot and killed him right there at the door.
Mm.
The wife called 911 but didn't speak to the dispatcher because she was hiding in a bathroom with the kid, Jamie. Mm. And she was holding her in a bear hug. But this Patterson guy barged into the bathroom, found them. He bound Jamie by her hands and ankles, put tape on her mouth, and then he shot her mother.
Dear God.
Mm-hmm. And then he dragged the kid out, put her in the trunk of his car, and drove away. And as the deputies were going to the house, he was going the other way. They passed him. Of course, they didn't know, you know, what had happened or what it was. Can you imagine that? And he takes the kid to his cabin that are two counties north in a remote, heavily forested area. And he didn't even know her name until he kidnapped her. And then he put her under his twin bed. He made her hide there. Even when people came over, he had repeated visits from his father. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Patterson mm-hmm. told her that if anyone found out she was there, bad things would happen to her. As she was under the bed, he stacked these totes around the bed with weight so he could tell if she moved or tried to get out. But anyway, it said that one day he said he's leaving for a few hours to apply for a warehouse job at a liquor distributor. And while he was out, she then shoved the weights and the bins away. She crawled out from under the bed, unlocked the front door in her pajamas, and ran into the snow. And there was a woman walking her dog. Oh, and
thank God.
That's how they found her. So that's the story of that. And so he recently... And this is an interesting number. He held her after killing her parents. He held her for 88 days. There's that number, 88.
Yeah.
Interesting number. So he was sentenced Friday to life in prison. I don't know why. Maybe in Wisconsin they don't have the death penalty. I don't know how you could kill two people in cold blood like that.
And kidnap somebody. And
kidnap their daughter. Kill them. Because you want their daughter more than they do. And receive a life sentence for the murders. I don't understand that. He was given a 40-year sentence for the kidnapping and, including 25 years in prison and 15 years on parole. Mm. And a life sentence for each murder. You know, why not just kill this freak? I mean, really, why are the taxpayers feeding this animal? This alien. So there's something wrong with our justice, because this is cut and dry. I mean, there's nothing about this.
Mm-mm.
That this guy shouldn't, you know, be killed. So anyway, Patterson gave a statement before being sentenced, and he said, he goes, I would do like absolutely anything to take back what I did. You know, I would die. I would do absolutely anything to bring them back. So he just decided to steal the kid. And now he says, you know, I really feel bad about that. He said if he ever got caught, that he would, he'd work with the investigators and tell them everything, because he didn't want to put Jamie through the interview process and hurt her anymore.
Oh, for the love of pizza.
So this guy's just a really, really piece of work. I don't know why he's alive, but hey, it's not my party. Not my party. One last story, Ms. Kapow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Obamacare was the greatest medical advancement in history. You know, Obama and his Affordable Health Care Act, more people got, you know, the medical help they need at affordable prices thanks to Obamacare. And, you know, I'm being facetious. Here's a company here, and I don't know how Obamacare is going to pay for this, especially on the bronze plan. But here's a company called Novartis. And they just got a drug approved by the FDA. Yeah, our FDA, our Federal Drug Administration, just approved this drug. And it's a gene therapy drug. And here's what it's for. It's the first gene therapy for a type of spinal muscular atrophy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a life-saving treatment for infants that will also be the most expensive in the world. And I'll get to that. It's known as Zolgensma.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, give me some Zolgensma, man.
Mm-hmm.
The gene therapy treats children under 2 years of age with spinal muscular atrophy, which is an inherited neuromuscular disease that causes progressive loss of muscle function. The most severe form of SMA causes infants to die or rely on permanent breathing support by the age of two. It's horrible, horrible disease. The disease is caused by a defect in a gene that makes SMN. It's a protein necessary for the survival of motor neurons. Now, this drug, Zolgensma, uses a re-engineered virus to deliver a functional copy of the defective gene so that SMN protein can be produced, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what parent that is the victim of having their little baby with SMA, what wouldn't they do to have their kid cured or improved, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of course. Of course that's going to be the target age. So this company, in the goodness of their heart, developed this medicine. They got approved by the FDA, and they said, we want to help the children. We want to help the parents of these children, so we want it to be cost effective so everybody can be right.
Mm-mm.
Nay. You know what they say? They say that Novartis is pricing Zolgensma. Okay, drum roll, please. At $2.125 million.
That's ridiculous.
U.S.
Oh, that makes me mad.
So here you have this little baby who has, whatever it is, muscular degeneration, SMA. No hope. They're either going to die or be on life support from age two. Here's this company says, oh, we got the answer. But it's going to cost you over $2 million. That's crap. Or an annualized cost of $425,000 per year for 5 years. Now, I don't know if it really cures it.
Mm.
Well, I don't know. Where were the tests done on that? I have no idea. The article doesn't say that. Mm-mm. But somebody's going to pay $425,000 a year for 5 years for this. I don't know what Obama plan is going to cover this. I really don't. Launching Zolgensma will be a big test for Novartis. Shareholders. Oh, here it goes. Oh, here's the money. Shareholders expect the gene therapy to deliver blockbuster sales to justify the $8.7 billion that Novartis spent to acquire it last year.
Wow.
Now, to achieve commercial success, Novartis must persuade doctors who treat SMA patients that the muscle-preserving benefits from a one-time injection of Zolgensma will be durable. Complex payment and insurance reimbursement arrangements required for expensive gene therapies need to be handled deftly.
Mm.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, so that's the world we live in. $2 million medicine to help your kid.
That is just so wrong.
Yeah.
That is just so
gene
wrong.
Gene therapy. Mm. Oh, yeah. And who knows what the end result of this stuff is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who knows what's really going to happen? That's just ridiculous. Out of control. Out of control. You have anything else to add?
No.
Well, that's it. I'm going to play the Fourth Man Barbecue theme song.
Yay.
Once again. It's doing real well on Facebook.
It is. It's wonderful.
I got a lot of shares. I got a lot of likes and hits, and people like it. Probably because it's about food. You know.
You can't go wrong with that.
You can't go wrong with that. Once again, Matt and Shailene Jacks.
Yep.
From the Seed War Radio podcast. Started a, it's called the Fourth Man Barbecue. Matt Jacks is an expert.
Oh, it's amazing to watch his videos.
Yeah, and his passion is incredible with this stuff. His knowledge and passion is incredible. I'm not a pit master. I just learned that term recently from the group. I'm not a pit master at all. In fact, I'm usually even too lazy to flip a barbecue. But I can recognize those that are experts at something.
Mm-hmm.
And he is. So it's a group. If you like barbecuing or having discussion or watching, you know, these videos and recipes and stuff like that, he does have a Facebook group called the Fourth Man Barbecue.
But I do caution you: you will get hungry.
Yeah, you'll gain pounds just watching the
video. You will get hungry.
Yeah, I weighed myself today, and I think I gained 3 pounds, and I didn't even change my eating habit. It was just from watching him cook the chicken. So yeah. So anyway. But you can go to the group, Fourth Man Barbecue, send them a request. And I think there's about like 40 people there now. I have a feeling it's going to grow exponentially.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Because people are interested in this stuff. The only thing bad, you know, is you know, I don't live close enough to actually go eat it. So then I always got to think about, you know, the local barbecue places here and, you know, and go do it. So maybe that's why I gained the 3 pounds. That could be it.
That could be.
See? I'm blaming them, and here it is, my own, you know, my own eating. But I still like to blame the videos. So anyway, here's the song, Fourth Man Barbecue, Fourth Man BBQ, barbecue song, which is a theme song for the show.
Mm-hmm.
And if you like it, you can get it everywhere online, Amazon, iTunes. You can stream it on Spotify, and Deezer, Queezer, Weezer, whatever. Everywhere. Have fun. All right.
Ciao, babies.
Y'all getting hungry. I want some barbecue. Highway 94. Bentley's getting angry and starting to roar. Rear view mirror shows a face getting lean. If I don't even see a man get mean, I just want some love, slow barbecue. I don't need no mickety mick. Don't want no hot dogs hanging on a stick. No fish, no fins, no food with gills. Plastic burgers flipped on a grill. I just want some love, slow barbecue. Yeah. Who's that fourth man? Who's that fourth man?
underneath, there's nowhere to hide. Got my fork and my fingers too, gonna tell you all what I'm